away from it.
I wanted to ask you about something that Governor Christie touts a lot, his role in rebuilding the Jersey Shore after the Sandy damage that occurred. I know New York City was very, very slow, the rebuilding process. Right. What's happened in New Jersey?
There are people that kind of follow him around, making a point that they're not back in their home. Starledge has done a good job reporting on that. Years later, people are still totally outside of their homes and dealing with all kinds of fraud, waste, and abuse by the contractors and the insurance companies. Also, it's important to know that what Governor Christie did with the Exxon settlement, which we covered last time I was on, the state had contemplated getting $9 billion from Exxon to make up for environmental damage that they had done in the Newark Bay, which was badly hit by Sandy in an urban environment. By not fully funding that settlement and by agreeing to let Exxon off the hook for just $225 million, the governor gave up on a plan to put 30,000 acres of wetland and marshland as buffers to protect the most critical part of New York and New Jersey's port. By walking away from that, he left that entire urban area, which I might say is primarily new immigrants. The people that live there are primarily low income, were already hit by Sandy and the toxic waste that came out of the wall water. So he really really shouldn't base his running for president on Sandy. There's too much of a record out there.
Now, there was the politics of it, embracing President Obama, and a lot is being made of this now by the pundits, and then and touring with him, of course, around Hurricane Sandy, and then basically saying that Romney should stay away.
Well, I think that what he did then was he's a brilliant politician in the sense of figuring out the thing that appears to be in the public interest, but also in his political interest. And that's why his opponents should keep an eye on him. I mean, you shouldn't count him out.
Let's talk about health care for a moment. Christie gave the keynote at the 2012 Republican National Convention, drawing loud applause for a comment he made about health care.
Mitt Romney will tell us the hard truths we need to hear to end the debacle of putting the world's greatest health care system in the hands of federal bureaucrats and putting those bureaucrats between an American citizen and her doctor.
So there he's talking about health care. I think he didn't mention Mitt Romney's name, though he was chosen to be the keynote until 17 minutes in. But what about this and the significance of what he's saying?
Well, I think it's important to know that Governor Christie has made war on Planned Parenthood. One of the key things to understand is that he has single-handedly undercut funding there consistently. And what's so short-sighted about it is it means he walked away from millions of dollars of federal money. So when it comes to certain kinds of ideological things, there's no compromise. Chris Christie, it's either his way or the highway.
And I want to ask you about education, too, because public education is going to be a big topic of in this presidential campaign. What's been Christie's record in terms of the inner city public school systems? And he's had quite a few state controls of a lot of city school boards.
Well, that state control went on a long time before Governor Christie. And what's happening now is that his whole approach has been, and his predecessors too, to impose these kinds of changes and reforms from the outside. And it creates a tremendous problem because the reality is, experts will tell you, the way for transformation of school districts is through each household. People themselves in their household have to buy into what you're doing. And what he did was that whole approach he had just created more conflict, and they lost a lot of time. But I think what's also important to keep in mind is that he has flipped on things like Common Core. He was for it, then he saw something stirring, and he flipped on that. So he put his finger up in the wind on that.
Well, Bob Henley, thanks so much for being with us, political analyst, investigative reporter for WBGO. This is Democracy Now! That does it for our broadcast. If you'd like to get a copy, go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, and Mate Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, and Amy Littlefield, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, our engineers. I'll be speaking in Chicago on Thursday night, and on Friday, our special here, James Earl Jones, read Frederick Douglass's July 4th speech. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Special thanks to Julie Crosby.
This is Sunrise, speaking for WUSB in Stony Brook.
That's right. And it's 6:01 right here on WUSB Stony Brook. And of course, that can only mean one thing on a Tuesday night.
Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Tonight we journey to Bratislava in Slovakia, where Kyle and I were visiting this January. And you'll hear us trying to navigate the tram system, which is extremely complicated and interesting. And you'll also hear at the beginning and the end some samples of Slovakian radio. It's Off the Wall in Slovakia.
Fantasticky zvládnutý cover Knockin' on Heaven's Door v podaní Guns N' Roses nám dohral na našich frekvenciách o 14. hodine a 11. minúte. A len pripomeniem, že na našom Facebooku beží hlasovanie za nezabudnutelný hit, tak sa snažte, nech obohatíme náš playlist skladbou, ktorú vy chcete. Takže battle zvádzajú Neil Young, Rockin' in the Free World, Alice Cooper, No More Mr. Nice Guy a UFO, Rock Bottom. No a zatiaľ si najlepšie vedie Neil Young, no a tesne za ním Alice Cooper, tak to bude ešte veľce zaujímavé. Priatelia, opäť sa vrátim k novinke rockového sveta a konkrétne k songu od AC/DC Play Ball, ktorý si o chvíľu vypočujeme, a ešte jedna infoška. Bratislavské eventíme stále majú lístky na koncert tohto hardrockového valca do Rakúska, tak ak ich ešte nemáte, neváhajte. Takže tu sú AC/DC a Play Ball iba od nás z Rokovej republiky.
We're here in Bratislava in Slovakia. Did you know that?
I did know that. Yeah, we are here indeed. I'm just getting ready here for a little bit of an outing.
Yeah, Kyle has a huge camera, that video camera that he's putting together right now. We're actually waiting at a tram stop to venture into the city proper. We've been sort of wandering around the last couple of days. It's been a whirlwind of activity. Last time we spoke, I believe we were still in Germany, Magdeburg, right? That's where we were?
Yeah, we were just getting ready for our day, heading out to get some coffee in the morning. And we were just discussing, little things we noticed about that place, which was really new to us as far as Germany was concerned.
Yeah, and I was sick too, but I got better. I had orange juice that day, and we had coffee. It was a delightful time. The next day we tried to do it again, and it didn't work because apparently it was another holiday in Germany. What was it? Do you remember what the holiday was called?
Epiphany.
Epiphany, that's what it was. I was going to say Assumption, but no, Epiphany, that was it. Everything was closed. We couldn't get anything then. That's how it is in Germany. They have all these days off between Christmas and New Year's. They have a week off afterwards, sometimes a week after that, and then holidays thrown in just for the fun of it. But that's how it is. But now we're in Slovakia. We'll recap some of what we did in various other places, but I kind of want to describe the scene here. We're at a tram stop. Can you hear that sound? That kind of ticking sound?
It is.
Can we walk over to that? I'd like to share that with people because that's a weird thing in and of itself.
Yeah, I'm all set. We can walk over there.
All right. Basically, well, the whole transit system is something weird in and of itself. We'll get into that. It's clicking. It sounds like an insect. Listen to this for a second. So what this clicking noise means is that the light is red for pedestrians. It's a don't walk signal. This is for deaf... Wait, this isn't for deaf people. This is for blind people. I'm sorry. I get confused sometimes. They have Braille. And that sound means that it's okay to walk. So that just means hurry up, get your ass in gear, cross the street before it stops doing that. Let's listen. Oh. And it's too late now. You have to stop. You don't get much time. You get... The green man, that means walk, and then you get the red man, it means don't walk. And that's it. You don't get any flashing or anything like that, and you better hurry when that happens. And every direction in this intersection has clicking, And it's pretty easy to tell which clicking applies to where you are. And it's also easy to tell why this would never work in New York, because it's just too noisy. You would never even hear this sound. Now, is that a battery on the outside of that pile?
Did you see that? Sure. I think it's something that can shock you. It's got some warnings on it.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of these clickers are integrated into the switch, although we're at an intersection, oddly enough, that doesn't have any of those switches.
That switch that says, I want a signal, I want to cross.
Right, that indicates you're ready to cross.
Well, okay, it's, I guess it's assumed that people will always want to cross here. And, yes, if we look around us, everywhere people are crossing and looking at us rather curiously. But it's a good way to know. It's a good universal symbol to know that it's okay to cross or not cross. Anyway, okay, we're missing a tram right now, but that's all right. There'll be others. We should probably go back to that stop. Now, getting the ticket for this was a challenge. We thought we did it all right yesterday. We went to the train station, main train station. What do they call it? Complex tickets?
There was complex travel. And then there were 12 booths, and they're all labeled different. Well, they all have different hours, but there was like a half a dozen that were really undecipherable. Indecipherable. There were no English indications there. And then there was another set of three on each side of an older hallway that indicated complex travel, which I think meant international or complex international, something like that.
It was really, really confusing. And, yeah, as you say, they're spread out all over the place. It looks like they're different, but they're really all the same. But anyway, we went up to one of them, and we wanted just to get a day pass so that we could ride the trams and buses and whatever else around the city. And it was hard to communicate with the guy, even though the sign said English spoken here. I'm not sure if English was actually spoken at his desk. So we asked for a day pass for tram and metro, and what he gave us was half the price of what I expected it to be. I expected it to be €4.50, which is an extraordinarily good deal for a day pass to get you on every single mass transit that you want to get on. Instead, he charged us around two each, and I thought that was kind of weird. But we showed the ticket to a couple of people. We had to cancel it on the tram, which we did. We folded it and canceled it properly. He gave us a big demonstration on how to do that. We had read about the inspectors in this city and how they can be really nasty, especially to tourists.
Did you pick up the tickets, by the way? We had them...
I got tickets right here.
Okay, good.
Yes, right here.
Because even if you're on a corner and transit stops you...
no.
You have to pay to walk in Slovakia. It's a tough economy.
This is how rumors are spread, by spreading rumors.
Okay, but they're really strict.
Yeah, well, they are. They are, and they yell at you, except you can't understand them, so it doesn't count. That's how I understand it, anyway. But anyway, okay, today we did something different. Today we got different tickets, but yesterday we got... I think the wrong tickets, because when we got ours today, they were $4.50 like they were supposed to be, and the person at the desk that we got them from yesterday refused to sell us anything like that. I think what they sold us yesterday was a single ticket on a tram or a suburban train or something like that, but there was no way to know that. We even showed it to somebody later on and asked, is this a ticket to ride the tram? And they said it was, so we still have to investigate this. There's not a word of English on it, so it's very hard to know for sure. But today we got other ones, which we have in our hands. We have not yet separated them, but they're exactly $4.50 each. It says 24 HOD, which HDD? Is that what it says? Is that HOD or HDD?
HOD.
HOD, 24 HOD. So I think that means 24 hours. And it actually says in English on the back, the passenger is obliged to mark his or her voucher immediately after having entered the vehicle by means of the nearby marker. The voucher not marked is invalid. What that basically means is if you don't cancel the ticket in the machine on the tram right away, you basically have no ticket.
Yeah, and we're used to this, but we're going to be especially vigilant about doing this immediately so that we don't run afoul of any of the authorities here in Slovakia.
They are so strict here that the machines lock after 30 seconds. When the tram leaves the station, they lock, and you can't
cancel it then. So if an inspector comes on board and you say, oh boy, I'm going to cancel my ticket now, it's too late. They, you know, you'll be fined something like 50 or 70 euro, depending on the mood they're in at the moment. And canceling a ticket, that might be an alien concept to some people. Basically, it means that, yeah, having the ticket in your hand is fine, but it only becomes valid once you cancel it. And if you don't cancel it, you have an unlimited ticket, which obviously isn't fair if you bought a ticket for a single ride. We have a 24-hour ticket, but it still means we have to cancel it. So I just hope that we can do it in 30 seconds before the tram leaves.
And the physical cancellation destroys the ticket. It puts a hole through it, and then it also goes a step further by stamping it with a time and a day so that it indicates when it was actually canceled, and that actually starts the clock if it's a half-day or 24-hour ticket. The other day, we canceled our tickets anyway, the one that we got at the train station, but it already had, you pointed this out, it already had a day and a time. It was sort of absurd, but we had to cancel it anyway, and we had to fold it because it printed a bit wider than the standard tickets that you get from public transport.
There's a tram. Should we get on number one tram or number two tram?
I'm open to anything. We were on the two.
Look, this number one isn't stopping. Oh, no, it is stopping. Okay. Yeah, we were on the one yesterday, so let's get on the two today.
Yeah, we really only have those two choices, one or two, at this particular stop.
At this stop, yes.
But I will say, you know, a word to travelers out there, give yourself a day to figure it out. Because some of these places are strict, and it's a lot better to kind of ease your way into it. Like the first night, we didn't dare set foot on the trams. We kind of walked to get a little bit food, you know, to get on a good schedule. And then we took the day yesterday to really dive into the transit locally here. And I'll say, I feel a lot more comfortable. And I think I'm ready for this excursion to maybe try to capture a little bit of visual stuff as well as audio as we're kind of exploring other parts of the city.
Well, you told me something yesterday that shocked me because I didn't know about it, and I was walking around not realizing, but you have to carry your passport with you at all times in this country. In Slovakia, if you're caught without your passport, you can go to jail. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's sometimes takes the fun out of travel when you like read up on the State Department site and you try to get all the subtleties that you don't want to forget fresh in your mind so you don't accidentally break a law, because not only can you be held accountable for American laws whenever you travel overseas, but you can be held accountable for crazy laws that you might not be familiar with in any way. And even if it's unbeknownst to you, you can be held liable, which could include being detained or thrown in jail or having many huge fines and all of these things.
Gesturing with your arm, you can't do that here.
Right. So in any event, it's wise to take a look, but I try not to because it can kind of scare you and be, a bit too by the book. And really, places, the de jure and de facto experiences are distinct anywhere you go. So what's on the books for a travel, you might take very, very seriously. It's really not the case when you get on the street. In any event, I checked and I did look into it. This country and the country that we're going to next, Hungary, require all travelers and temporary residents to carry passports on them at all times.
All right. Well, it's good to know that now, and I'm glad that we figured that out. Well, you told me before I made a bad mistake. Let's do this. Let's rip the ticket. Not ripping the ticket in half. It's two tickets, and we want...
Carefully.
Yeah, you rip it. Take it. Okay, good. That ripped nice and neatly. Now, what we have to do, you know the side with the arrow. You
with
point
arrow.
That in,
yeah.
And hopefully when the tram gets here... Why don't we walk over to the tram stop now so that we don't have to run? I don't want to get tangled up. I'm thinking we walk over. It's kind of an ordeal to get across the street.
Why not the crosswalk?
Because this guy was kind of shady. He was standing there staring at us.
Yeah, he was on his phone earlier.
Or whatever, but there's a tram. See, I don't want to run. We might have to, though. Yeah, I'm fine. I got us into a situation now where there's cars on one side and the tram on the other. Okay, but I think we can cut through here. Well, there's one car coming, but we're just going to get on the back of the tram. All right, here we go. Okay, now we're just going to make sure we cancel this properly. Okay, I canceled mine. You have to cancel yours quickly. Good. Well, now we're safe. Sit here.
Následuj pauka. Blumenthal.
All right. Well, we made that successfully. Where do you want to go?
Nowhere.
All right. We're on the right tram, I guess. This is the one that goes through a tunnel. Oh, no, wait. This is number two. I don't know where this goes.
Did you put your ticket away?
Why? Is that required, too?
I would safeguard it.
Well, I have it in my hand. I know where it is.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
So we're just going around and exploring in the city. It's pretty simple.
And that's what you can do when you have a day pass. You can just, because people are filming. We have a camera bigger than yours. That's the minister of Slovenska Republic or something or other.
Indeed it is.
Yeah. So, okay, since now we're on this tram heading somewhere, let's quickly recount where we've been before this, just so we're all caught up. We were in Magdeburg in Germany. We had a car, and we took that car, and we drove to Leipzig, correct?
Yeah.
I don't remember Leipzig. I'm sorry. What did we do there?
I don't know.
See, yeah, we need to do better as far as remembering what we've done in places. Okay, wait. We drove into Leipzig. We went to Dresden after Leipzig. I know that. We only spent one night in Leipzig, and that's probably why we don't remember much. I remember. We parked in a parking lot. We walked around in a big circle looking for some place that was open, and we wound up going to the kebab shop.
Still don't remember it.
We found Club Mate there.
Okay.
Is the bell starting to ring now?
No.
We had Donna Kebab and Club Mate. We brought it back to the place we were staying. And on our way out, we got two more Club Mates before we drove to Dresden.
Oh, yeah. I remember okay. Leipzig. Yeah, that's a great town.
That's all really we have to remember it by.
Fantastic. Such a cheery and exciting atmosphere there.
Well, we arrived at night and we left in the morning. We didn't really do anything, but it did seem rather small and not a lot going on. True.
But it was really cold and... there were a lot of people bicycling. That was a stark contrast to what we've seen here.
That's true. In Bratislava, not much in the way of bicycling. But then we drove to Dresden, which was the final destination for the car. And we did that because it was a tremendous saving over taking a train from Hamburg over to anywhere else. Taking a train down to Dresden would have been phenomenally expensive, like a couple of hundred euro each, at short notice. If you book it months in advance, I guess you can get a good deal. But the car was actually something really cheap, like, 70 euro or something. And that split over two people was really pretty affordable. And, in the States, if you drive a car to a different city, you get charged extra. And apparently that's not the case in Germany. So we did that. We drove the thing to Dresden, and we just made it in time. I think we had to drop it off at 12:15, and we got there at 12:20. We had trouble finding the place. But coincidentally enough, it was right next to where we were staying, which was pretty cool. We've been finding some really amazing deals on places to stay. Like, we're paying like $32 a night to stay in a hostel, but it's not like a hostel where you're sharing it with a bunch of backpackers or anything like that. You get your own room. And it's really kind of the same as a hotel, but just a whole lot cheaper. The one we got in Dresden was awesome because it was on the 7th floor and overlooked the train station or just the train tracks, and I was just watching trains all night long. We spent a fair time exploring Dresden. At first, I didn't like it very much because it just seemed like there were nothing but malls everywhere.
There was a lot of new construction and building going on there, and it was... it took a while for us to get, again, acclimated to the transit system and, getting a little bit further away from the areas where we tend to choose to stay. It's easier for us, I think, to just find something near the train, near the transit, where we're either dropping some car off or taking a train out the next day. So often those neighborhoods aren't in the the really interesting or maybe old or really funky parts of town, which makes it important to try to get in touch with people and try to soak up the local atmosphere and get off the path, get off of a routine that is really just helping you with your temporary stay. That's one thing, but to get out of that and get lost and really explore is it takes a bit of work, and so that was the case there, to go and look and find things and then also talk to people that might be able to show you some other things. I'm sure this is all stuff we've said before a million times.
Probably so, but it's always different when you get to another place because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what kinds of experiences you'll have. Like, we were trying to find just, you know, simple food to have, and it was hard in that mall area. We wound up, you know, the theme seemed to be places that were way too big with way too few people, kind of like this whole Soviet-type style. And we wound up, I don't even know what the place was, but it was pretty mediocre and just was a maze of tables and overpriced, and I didn't feel too good about it. But then the next day, we did a little research. You did a little research, and we wound up taking the S-Bahn over a little bit out of town and just wandering around finding a really good place there. And that was cool.
It was one of the older buildings in town, and those are the kinds of places you don't want to get on too much of the tourist tip, but you can definitely do a quick bit of research and find some interesting places that, you know, locals hang out at too, and those are the real gems that can kind of make you settle in and be like, oh, okay, this is good. I'm actually seeing some interesting stuff. You're not just like succumb to some traps at the train station or just getting by with some late night kebab because it's all you can wander to find in these situations.
Yeah, well, late night kebab has saved us a few times. It's decent enough, but yeah, it's I don't know why they're the only people open late at night, but it tends to be the case. Has saved us a few times, and they always have Club Monte too for some reason. I don't know what that's all about, but I had a better impression of Dresden leaving. Now, of course, keep in mind there is also the situation in Dresden where they're having these rallies every Monday, anti-Islamic rallies, which are kind of kind of disturbing, and in light of recent news events, kind of frightening. And the rally before the one, we didn't see any, but before we got there, the Monday before we got there, was, I think, 18,000 people. And to give you a sense, when it started late last year, it was something like 350 people. So these things are spiraling upwards. It's a little troublesome. So we had all that in mind. We were walking around the streets. Didn't really see any signs of hate or evil.
Well, Eve, that's because hate is all around you.
Probably true. But I did see a lot of signs of people defending themselves against that. Anti-Nazi signs, immigrants welcome here, that kind of thing. So that was good to see. We met up with some people actually at a hackerspace, and they were telling us about, you know, the enlightened outlook, which is always good to hear in situations like that. But we live in troubled times, and that was definitely one of the troubled places that could easily spread to others. I hear same thing going on in Munich, Leipzig, other places. So something we really have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's scary and stuff.
Yeah. After that, we hopped on a train, headed down to Prague, which we've been to a couple of times before. And that was all right, you know. We walked around familiar streets and explored a little bit, but mostly we were looking forward to coming here because we hadn't been here before in Bratislava. And that brings us up to where we are right now.
Hooray! There's so much we've skipped.
Radio time is expensive, Kyle.
Apparently,
we will remember other things.
It's their loss.
We'll just come up with something, a memory in the middle of something else. And of course we have memories ahead of us too.
I was thinking about the building in Leipzig that the hotel was in. It was just like a converted apartment, and then like the only place we could find coffee was basically like this woman's kiosk. It was sort of ramshackle and like very just matter of fact, and like, here's your plastic cup of coffee, and you know, go away.
We've had very good coffee, and we've had very bad coffee, sometimes within the same day, and it's always an experience. But the one you're describing, yeah, it just seemed to be that's the place that you go to before you wake up. Well, obviously after you wake up, but go to your thankless job at 7 a.m. or something. In the old Eastern European style.
Exactly. Incredibly impersonal and depressing.
Yeah. And there were some buildings that just were extremely bland, and all the windows looked the same, and just kind of reminded you of like the Stalinist architecture.
But it's a different depressing. There's plenty of depressing where we come from. It's just a different depressing.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah. The malls and the flash and the stuff, even we saw a lot of that in Dresden. We have a lot of that where we're from. Clean and new and antiseptic can also be depressing. So it's good to try to find the exciting and friendly stuff in the nooks and crannies.
I know something we forgot to mention. We saw a movie in Germany, and we were surprised by a number of things about how movies are done in movie theaters. well, first of all, when you buy your ticket, you get a little chart, and you get to select your seat.
Yeah, you get seat reservations in theaters.
So, you can see where other people are sitting, and you can decide to be a jerk and sit right next to them, or you can sit as far away from them as possible. And that's an experience. But then we thought we'd get some snacks, and that's when we really learned something.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So we had planned on having just a bit of popcorn and, like, your standard soda, you know, pretty typical for theater, and well, we plopped down and started, you know, shoveling handfuls of popcorn in our mouths, only to realize the popcorn was glazed with sugar.
Not salt, sugar.
Yeah, it was like corn pops or something.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that, and apparently that's the way they do it.
Sweeter than breakfast cereal.
It came in the same exact type of thing, too. That was what was so weird.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Are we supposed to get out of here?
I'm just noticing this is one of the theaters, I think, I was looking into yesterday. Yes. We might be going into a different zone. Zone 00, okay.
Well, okay, we gotta be careful now. These tickets, are they good to go into another zone?
I'm zoning already.
Well, okay, but we might be zoning in a prison if we're not careful.
Well, we can get out. This is a mall.
Zone 100. So that's what it says right now. So, yeah, now it says 2 on there. So maybe we just moved into a different zone. Is that possible? But it doesn't say on these tickets anywhere.
Well, we could get out and change. We could also look at the handy map that we have.
That's true. We do have a handy map. Well, okay. I guess this is as good a time as any to sign off here from Bratislava. In Slovakia. We are heading to Budapest next, in Hungary. That'll be fun. And then over to Austria after that. And I'm sure we'll think of all kinds of other cool things. We saw the transparent factory in Dresden.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was really neat. There was another Volkswagen factory in Dresden, and it's transparent. It's all made of glass to reflect supposedly their corporate ethics, and also just to have physically a plant where you can see the process unfold. Really beautiful Canadian maple floors, gorgeous, gorgeous stuff, and amazing.
Of course, they were on vacation, so we couldn't go in there and get a tour, just like everything. Everything that we've seen in Germany so far, people were on vacation. But that's not the case here in Slovakia. Nobody's on vacation. Hey, look, a freight train. Bet you weren't expecting to see that. Freight train crossing the road. On a bridge. Okay, so we are somewhere, we have no idea where, and we better figure that out, I suppose. So, until next time, signing off.
Presne o 14. hodine 15. minúte sa začína naša nová rubrika Príbytok svetla, v ktorej sa vám bude pravidelne prihovárať cez rozhlasové príjimače astronóm Páter Pavol Gábor. Pochádza z východného Slovenska a v súčasnosti pôsobí ako zástupca riaditeľa Vatikánskeho observatória v Arizone.
Príbytok svetla.
Povolenie sa zrejme prejavovalo už od malička, ale to vlastne môžem povedať len so spätným pohľadom. Že by som sa mal stať kňazom, som si prvýkrát lepšie uvedomil na jeseň roku 87, keď som mal podávať prihlášku na vysokú školu. Povedal som si, že čas ani ja nie sme zrelí na seminár. A tak som si vybral školu, ktorá bola známa ako jedna z najmenej zideologizovaných, z menej ako stovky spolužiakov, ktorí v roku 88 nastúpili na štúdium fyziky na matematicko-fyzikálnej fakulte Karlovej univerzity, sme dnes traja kňazi. Vyštudoval som fyziku elementárnych častíc, vyše roka som bol na stážach v Ženeve a v Grenobli pracoval som v CERNE. V 95. roku som už nevedel viac odkladať vstup do rádu. Netešil som sa do noviciátu a moje obavy sa svojím spôsobom aj naplnili. Noviciát bol dosť depresívne prostredie. Mesačné duchovné cvičenia boli fiasko, ale napriek tomu všetkému som mal duši hlboký pokoj, pretože pred vstupom som roky stále jasnejšie pociťoval, že utekám od toho, čo som so svojím životom mal spraviť, a keď som vstúpil, tak sa všetko zmenilo. Našiel som svoje miesto. Keď som potom študoval v 97. až 99. filozofiu v Krakove, tak som sa zoznámil s profesorom Michalom Hellerom, spolupracovníkom Vatikánskeho observatória, a on mi vtedy povedal, vás cirkev potrebuje na Vatikánskom observatóriu. Pustil som to z hlavy. Potom som rok učil filozofiu v Olomouci a potom som išiel študovať teológiu do Paríža. No a po prvom ročníku som dostal pozvánku na mesiac do Vatikánskeho observatória v Castel Gandolfe. Takže po návrate do Paríža v lete na jeseň roku 2001 sa postupne kryštalizovalo moje smerovanie na Vatikánske observatórium. Po teológii som sa vrátil na 2 roky do Olomouca, no a v roku 2005 som potom išiel znovu do Paríža, tam som robil doktorát z astrofyziky. V roku 2010 som potom bol 7 mesiacov v Austrálii na tzv. Tretej probácii, tým sa završila moja reholná formácia. No a v septembri 2010 som nastúpil na Vatikánske observatórium. Takže vlastne pracovať som začal, keď som mal 41 rokov. To je dosť veľký luxus. Čo je na mojej práci najlepšie? No, povedal by som, že rôznorodosť. Robím výskum, dávam dokopy sieť robotických ďalekohľadov, učím na Arizonskej univerzite, organizujem konferencie, robím administratívu, pripravujem zmluvy, robím prednášky pre verejnosť, ale občas aj zastupujem vo farnostiach a spovedám, dávam duchovné cvičenia. Takže je to ozaj veľmi pestré. Nedávno som v jednej farnosti ukazoval obrázky a rozprával o tom, aký veľkolepý a obrovský je vesmír. A vtedy sa jedna pani prihlásila a spýtala sa, a toto všetko stvoril náš Pán Boh? Áno, vesmír je nesmierne nádherný, je veľkolepý vo svojej vznešenosti, ale o čo väčší je náš Pán, ktorý toto všetko stvoril a stále udržuje. V tejto relácii sa budeme zaoberať všeličím. Chcel by som predovšetkým rozptýľovať rôzne predsudky o tom, čo to je Vatikánske observatórium, prečo je Vatikánske observatórium, o vede a viere, o vedeckej práci, a trochu tieto témy priblížiť. Ale moja najväčšia ambícia je, aby aspoň niektorí z poslucháčov ozaj vyšli von, zahľadili sa na nebo, na hviezdy a povedali si, aký je tento vesmír majestátny a krásny, aké nepatrné sú všetky naše trápenia a aké malicherné sú všetky naše sváry.
Úvodné slová Pátra Pavla o jeho ceste do seminára jezuitskej rehole a Arizonského vatikánskeho observatória máme za sebou. Na budúci týždeň sa môžete tešiť na ďalšie rozprávanie Pátra Pavla, tentokrát o náplni jeho práce, ale aj o tom, aký je rozdiel medzi astronómiou a astrológiou.
Príbytok svetla.
Je 14 hodín 25 minút, už o chvíľočku sa v rubrike Čo vás páli zameriame na problém mediácie ako mimosúdneho vyrovnania, ktoré šetrí čas, peniaze a často aj zdravie. Téme sa venovala Jana Ondrejková.
Thank you. Pán nech je pred vami, aby vám ukázal správnu cestu.
Pán nech je pri vás, aby vás zobral do svojho bezpečného náručia.
Pán nech je za vami, aby vás chránil pred zákernosťou zlých ľudí.
Pán nech je vo vás, aby vás obhajoval, keď vás cudzí napadnú.
Pán nech je nad vami, aby vás požehnal.
Tak nech vás žehná Pán aj prostredníctvom nášho vysiania.
Čo vás pálí?
Mediácia ako mimosúdne vyrovnanie šetrí čas, peniaze a často aj zdravie. Pomáha dvom stranám, ktoré stoja proti sebe, nájsť spoločnú reč a takisto priateľné riešenie sporu. Využiť ju môžeme v prípade rodinných či susedských konfliktoch, pri problémoch v zamestnaní, ale takisto pri environmentálnych sporoch. Podrobnosti sa dozviete v dnešnej rubrike Čo vás pálí, ktorú pre vás pripravila Jana Ondrejková.
Program, ktorý si o chvíľu vypočujete, vysielame v repríze.
Mediácia má široké pole pôsobnosti. Využiť sa dá aj pri riešení ekologických alebo environmentálnych problémov. Podľa riaditeľa mediačno-konzultačného centra SOVA v Banskej Bystrici Martina Dubnička, na Slovensku to zatiaľ ale nie je veľmi časté.
Na Slovensku je trošku problém s tým, že mediácia je ešte stále mladučká a veľmi málo využívaná aj v takých tých bežnejších veciach.
This is Sven Ra, speaking for WUSB in Stony Brook.
Yeah, kids, this is Finn on Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB Stony Brook, as Sun Ra just told us. And yeah, tonight we have some special guests. In a little bit we have Miss Daria Grace of Daria Grace and the Pre-War Ponies, one of my favorite bands. And in just a few moments, radical queer electro-hop band from San Francisco, Double Dutch, will be joining us. Stay tuned.
nothing. With so many people needing our help to keep their lands away from the greedy, who only plunder for themselves.
Track brand new from Neil Young, A New Day for Love, from the album The Monsanto Years, right here on WUSB. Stony Brook, at about, a little earlier than this time, in 1954, this single made its radio debut, the very first single for this gentleman from Sun Records. 1954 on this date on WHBQ in Memphis. This was played for the very first time. Enjoy it, and right after this, Double Dutchess will be on the line with us.
Mama, you. That's all right, mama, just any way you do. That's all right, that's all right. That's all right, mama, any way you do. Well, mama, she done told me, papa done told me too. Son, that guy you fooling with, she ain't no good for you. But that's all right, that's all right. It's all right, mama, anyway do.
We have some special guests on the line right now. We have David from Double Duchess on the line with us at the moment. And, well, I'll let David explain
a little. Just saying now.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great to have you on the air, my friend. You guys are still out in San Francisco before you head to New York or before you head to the East Coast or what?
Yeah, we're in San Francisco right now. We fly out on Thursday. The tour starts in Annapolis, actually, where I'm from, and then doing D.C., and then going to head up the coast.
Very cool, very cool. And
Krylon's here as well, just like.